Hello Nations Youth. Come on, for 2 seconds, why don't we just give God some praise and adoration? Come on, why don't you praise Him if you got healed tonight? Why don't you praise Him that He saved you? Why don't you praise Him that He gave you parents that love Him? Why don't you praise Him that your friend once invited you and now you're in the best community? Oh, come on, why don't you give God some praise for what He's done? Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. You're the reason we're here. You're everything to us, God. We love you, Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So good. You can take your seats. If you do not know me, my name is Beck, short for Rebecca. I am a nurse, so I look after sick people. It's quite fun. And if you didn't know me, that's who I am. I'm also the Middle High Girls Pastoral Leader. Do I have any Middle High Girls in the place tonight? Yes, Middle High is the best high. Amen? Amen. Amazing. Well, we're going to get straight into it. Nations Youth, I'm excited to preach this word to you today. I'm so very excited. I do just want to add, if it is your first time or you've only been checking us out a few times here at Nations Youth, welcome. You're at home. I want to encourage you that if you're fairly new and you don't know that many people, make it a priority to come every single Friday. When I was in year 7 in term 4, my mum forced me to come. And I made the decision, hey, I'm going to keep on coming. I met my best friends here. Heck, I met my husband here. I fell in love with Jesus and my life has never been the same. So I want to encourage you, come to Nations Youth. Best decision that you can make. But we're going to get straight into it. Who knows what our term theme is this term? Yes, it is faith. And today I'm going to continue the conversation about faith. And today I want us to catch the revelation that faith is not just an action, but it's a reality. Faith is a world that God wants us to live in, where we literally don't respond the same anymore, where we look and speak a little bit different, where we're not like the people around us. Why? Because we have faith. And you might be wondering, what's faith? Well, the Bible tells us what it is. It says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And I want to tell you tonight that faith is testable. That there are actually signs and symptoms that you can tell, oh wait, right now I'm operating in faith. And that looks like being confident. That looks like being assured, even when your situation does not give the opportunity to be confident and assured. You know, some of you are confident and assured that that sibling will get saved one day, even though they're literally at a party right now. Some of you are confident and assured that one day you will walk in healing, even though right now that part of your body is hurting. Why? Because you're operating in faith. And today I'm going to preach about how we can operate in faith, that we can live in confidence and assurance, and that could be a reality that we live in. So before I read the scripture, why don't you give it up for the worship team? You guys have been incredible. Angelic as always. And we are gonna open our Bibles. Does anyone have their physical Bible? Incredible. You're gonna open up to Luke 8 verse 22. I wanna see those pages flipping. Come on, here at Nations Youth, we love the word of God, amen. Amen. We're going to be reading from Luke 8, 22 to 25. Are we there, everyone? Are we there? I still hear flicking. Brilliant. We're going to read. All right. It says in Luke 8, 22 to 25, I'm going to take a sip of water. Then we're going to get this bad boy going, okay? Ready. Luke 8, 22 to 25, it says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. The disciples woke him up shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them, where is your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. Has anyone ever been terrified and amazed at God before? You're like, how the heck did that just happen? I love you, but oh my goodness. They were terrified and amazed. Who is this man, they asked each other. When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him. The title of my message and what I want you to write at the top of your notes page is this simple question: where is your faith? Why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads? I'm going to pray. God, I thank you that faith is real. I thank you, God, faith is a gift from you. And I pray, God, today we would understand how to operate in faith. I pray, God, that you would change our lives. I thank you, God, that you would give people breakthrough in this place. I pray, God, that you would mark people. And I ask, God, we would never look at faith the same again after tonight. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So good. Well, we just read a scripture. And what happened is Jesus was on planet Earth, is when he was a man here on Earth. And he came down and he was living his life and he was with his disciples. And he was with the disciples and he said to them, disciples, we're going to get on a lake. No, that is not what he said. He said, we're going to get on a boat and we're going to cross to the other side of a lake. And it's all good. It's going swell. That was a pun, because, yeah, it was going swell. And then what happens is Jesus goes to sleep. He said, guys, we're going to the other side. Not to worry. I'm heading off to sleep. He then goes to sleep, and the water starts getting a little bit rough. There's some wind that starts hitting. Who knows, like, have you seen, I don't know, videos about waves? They get quite big, you know? So the waves are getting a little bit big. They didn't have those big cruise ships we do now. It's like probably a little wooden boat. The waves start getting really big. The Bible records a storm started coming in. The disciples, they start freaking out. Like, oh my goodness, I am going to die. The Bible even records that they were literally in danger. So they're not making it up. There genuinely was a really big storm. And so there's this really big storm. They're freaking out and they wake up Jesus like, Master, Master, we're going to die. And in one moment, Jesus calms the storm. The wave goes completely still. And he looks at them. And he doesn't ask, how are your survival skills? He doesn't ask, were you really good at shoveling out water? He doesn't ask, do you know how to read the wind and the waves? No, he asked them, where is your faith? In one moment, everything changed. The fact that the boat was filling up with water, the fact that there was a storm, the fact that they were in real danger, Jesus doesn't ask them to put their faith in that. No, no, no. He asked them to have faith in what he said. The reality of the scripture is Jesus started sleeping. Why? Because he said that they were going to the other side. And today I believe God is wanting to teach us to live in a reality where we are more confident in what he said than what's going on around us. Where we're more confident in the fact that Jesus said, heck, I'm going to the other side than the fact that there's raging storms going on. When we're more confident in the fact that Jesus said, I will be healed this side of eternity than the fact that the symptoms are getting worse. Where we're more confident in the fact that Jesus showed you a picture of your sibling worshiping God at this front altar or getting baptized at our church than the fact that they're swearing more than they're fighting with you more, that we would be more convicted, more confident and assured in what God says to us than what's going on around us. And today I want to unpack some things that can almost be like obstacles that stop the disciples from being able to have this great faith that Jesus did. And the first thing is that they had doubt. They had doubt. The first obstacle that can stop us from living in the realm of faith is doubt. You see, we read about how the disciples doubted what Jesus had said. We see this by them stressing out that the storm came. Jesus said, hey, we're going to the other side. The storm comes. They're now scared that they're not even going to live anymore. Clearly, they're not confident and assured and had forgotten what Jesus had said. You see, what is doubt? Doubt is an emotion. It's feeling hesitant, unsure, or uncertain about something. If faith is confidence and assurance, doubt is an indicator of lack of faith in a specific area. And you know, the Bible actually teaches us that doubt prohibits us from being able to approach God in faith. we read in James, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. This scripture highlights to us, we are unable to ask God for things in faith when we have doubt. And so it begs the question, what do you do? Because you can't force yourself not to doubt. You can't force yourself not to be uncertain. You just feel it. You can't do anything about it. And what I want to teach you today, and I hope that this honestly changes your life forever, is that you can use doubt as an indicator. You can use doubt as an indicator that, oh my goodness, I need to go back to God in this area. The Bible says in Philippians 4:16, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, someone say every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You see, I was thinking about doubt. And who here has ever owned a car before? Probably like a third of the room, if you think about the year groups and all of that, and when you get your license. And so I used to own a really old car. And this car was a miracle. Maybe I'll tell you about it one day. And it would have a lot of engine lights that would come on. And when an engine light comes on, it's not the like display light's problem. Smashing that thing to get rid of the engine light is not going to fix the car. Are we okay with that? What you have to do is you actually have to pop up the hood, have a look at the engine, fix the problem, and then the light will switch off. Do we understand? And so doubt is a bit like an engine light. It indicates that something else is going on, that you're maybe a bit hesitant about what God has said. Maybe it's not quite clear whether you should or should do something. Doubt is like an engine light. For example, maybe you've been doubting if you should share your testimony on Instagram. You're hesitant. You're not quite sure. Oh, the engine light of doubt has switched on. You go back to the source, the engine. You go back to God and you unpack, why am I feeling doubtful? Oh, I'm scared of people's opinions. Oh, I'm just really like afraid. Oh, this isn't a faith issue. I just have a fear of man issue. Oh, I'm going to progress and share my testimony anyway. Do we understand? Another example is you could be hesitant. Oh, I don't know. I feel like I might have a word for someone at the altar, but I'm not quite sure. You know, you feel that hesitancy. What do? The engine light of doubt comes on. You go back to the hood of the car, you go back to God and you say, God, why am I feeling hesitant? What are you trying to say about this person? He then reveals that, no, it wasn't what you were originally going to pray. It's this other scripture that he wants you to pray. And then you progress in faith and pray for that person. Doubt is an indicator that you can use to uncover the reasons you're not operating in faith. And I'm here to tell you today that God is always working in every situation, in every specific part of life. He is working. Jesus Christ himself said, my Father is working and so am I. Doubt about a topic just indicates you need a glimpse of what God is doing in that area, understand it, and progress in faith. You can't force yourself not to doubt, but you can use it as an indicator to unpack what God wants to do. The first thing we see the disciples do is they doubted what Jesus said. The second thing that we see the disciples do is that they were striving. Someone say striving. Striving. You know, we see the disciples, they start rushing to Jesus. They're like freaking out. You know, when the Bible does exclamation marks, you can interpret that as like loud. And there's an exclamation mark on my translation. And they run to Jesus and like, Master, Master, we're perishing. We're going to die. Like dramatic language. You know, they literally thought they were going to die. They're begging him to wake up and save them. You can only imagine they're probably shouting each other across this tiny little wooden boat. Oh my goodness, we're going to die. They're probably like shoveling out water. You know what I mean? Like they're doing whatever they can. Running to Jesus. Oh my goodness. And what I want to tell you today is that striving is not a biblical word. It's not like faith where you can be like, now faith is this, this, this. It's not like striving is in Hebrews 3. You know what I mean? It's not like that. It's not a word in scripture, but we can see the same behavior. And a definition of the word striving is simply trying to achieve something in your own strength. And the reality is that striving is not defined by behavior, but it is all about motive. You see, one person could be operating in faith. They could be doing something that God has genuinely told them to do. But another person could be doing the exact same thing that God hasn't asked them to do, and it's striving. The behavior can look the same, but you see, the motive is different. When your motive is not confidence and assurance in what God is asking you to do, you are most likely striving. You see, we see this behavior when Jesus is visiting some of his friends. We read about Martha. She was one of Jesus' really good friends. And Jesus is invited over to their house. It's like, oh my gosh, the King of Kings is in my house. And she has a sister called Mary, and Martha's like getting all the hospitable things ready. I don't know, like opening the door, greeting him, making the food and that they would eat back in the day. And we read this in Luke 8:40. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord,'" speaking to Jesus, "'do you not care that my sister," this is Mary, "'has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" You see, Mary had chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus. She was listening to his teaching. She was taking it all in. Martha's over here being a good person. She's being nice. She's like being hospitable, but she's anxious about it. She's doing it with like an angry heart. She's like, oh my gosh, I need to get it all done. Martha was striving. You see, she wasn't necessarily doing anything wrong. Cleaning's not bad. Like, it's not the behavior that's wrong. It's the motive. She was stressed out and anxious. You know, for you, it's not wrong to ask the guest preacher to pray for you, but it could be striving if you're scared it's the only way that God will speak to you. It's not bad to yell at the altar and, like Pastor Harry would say, burst an artery, but it could be striving if you're doing it because you're anxious. It's not bad to get passionate about serving on teams and wanting to be excellent in cameras or worship, but if frustration comes over the fact that you want it to be perfect rather than honoring to God, you are probably striving. It's not bad to have regimented time with God where you go from prayer 10 minutes, Bible to the next 10 minutes, then pray for my family, and then don't forget the cousins, don't forget the auntie, and you list every single family member because you're stressed out of your mind that your time with God doesn't please God. It's not bad behavior, but it is probably striving. You see, striving is not a behavioral problem, it's a motive problem. And that's why there's a difference between hunger and striving. That's why there's a difference. You know, in another scripture, we literally see Jesus commend a woman who's begging for her breakthrough. This woman approaches Jesus and she's like, oh my gosh, please, my daughter needs a breakthrough. In the account, Jesus doesn't even reply to her. He literally ignores her. And then the disciples, they're around Jesus, they're like, they literally say to the woman, you can read this in your own Bible. They say like, oh my gosh, get out of here. Like, he's busy. Go on, move along. And then the woman goes again. She's like, no, please. I'm being serious. I need breakthrough for my daughter. She then goes to the point to get on her knees and starts begging Jesus for breakthrough. We read in Matthew what Jesus' response to this is. He said, "Then Jesus said to her, 'Woman, you of great faith, your request has been granted,' and her daughter was healed at that moment." You see, that could be perceived as striving, but the motive was that I am confident. I am assured that right now God can heal my daughter. I'm not trying to be performative. I'm not trying to prove myself to God. No, no, no. I'm confident and assured that God can meet me here. If you want to be the loudest person in worship because you want a touch from God, Go for it. If you want more time in your word and you literally want to wake up earlier before you go to school, that's not performative. Do it. Be the hungriest person you can be. If your motive is confidence and assurance in God coming through, you're just hungry. You know, what the disciples did was only considered striving because their motive was fear. Waking up Jesus, they did in a motive of fear. And my question to you today is, what is your motive behind asking the guest preacher to pray for you? What's your motive in signing up to every single serving team under the sun? What's your motive in forcing yourself to do things that you may not feel like God has asked you to do? And you know, if the keys can come and join me, I'm going to wrap up very soon. But you know, I spoke at the beginning about how like faith is not just like a little side piece that we dabble in every now and then. No, faith is a new reality. And I think Jesus proves this to us in that scripture about the storm. You see, there was a literal physical storm that was actually dangerous, that was going on, and we see King Jesus sleeping. Now, I don't know if you know much about sleep, but sleep is the most vulnerable position your body puts itself in. If you've been raised in like, I don't know, traumatic environments, you know, even as a kid, you can't fall asleep when mom and dad are shouting in the other room. When you feel like there's something in your room at night or whatever, your body can't physically fall asleep because it perceives danger. Sleep is the most vulnerable position our physical body puts itself in. It literally stops stress hormones, protective hormones of fight and flight, from being able to protect us. And you see, Jesus was found sleeping through a literal danger, sleeping through a literal thing that could actually cause his body harm. Why? Because I believe he was living in a different realm. He was living in a different realm. He was so assured of how sovereign he was over the waves. He was so assured of the fact that he said, "We're going to the other side," that his body was able to rest when the world around him was falling apart. And I believe there's that same invitation for you tonight. That this term wouldn't just be like a new revelation. It wouldn't be like, "Oh, that's good. Keep that in my toolbox." No, that it would be a new reality. That you would think different. That your physical body wouldn't get anxiety anymore to the stresses that it used to. Where you would literally be a different person inside and out because your physical body doesn't respond to the world around you. Your faith responds instead. And you know, before we move on, I actually wanted to share with you a part of my story. And you know, there's lots of different parts that make up a person, so it's not the only part of me, but it's one big part of me. And it was when I was in year 10, I was reading my Bible, and I was reading 1st or 2nd Samuel, and I read about how King Saul made a mistake, and it cost him the call of God in his life, and it cost him being able to be in close relationship with God. And I read that scripture, I read the details of it, and in one moment, fear entered my life. I believed the lie that at any moment, I could accidentally do something that could ruin my relationship and right standing with God. In that moment, when I was in year 10, immense fear and doubt entered my body. I was in a constant state of fear. I thought that at any moment God would give up on me, that I wasn't going to make it to heaven, that I had to somehow prove to God that I was worthy of his love. This led me to doing some crazy things. I would force myself to go on fasts that God never inspired me or encouraged me or prompted me to do to try get closer to God. I would put on certain worship songs in my time with God and think, oh my goodness, maybe this song will bring the presence of God. Oh my gosh, no, that's not working. Maybe this one. And I would go over and over again. It got so bad where I couldn't even make simple life decisions. I would get in my car and I would try, like, you know, your Spotify just connects, and I'll just be like, I don't know, vibing to like some random song. And then a thought would come in my head, God wants you to listen to worship right now. And then I would be like, oh my goodness, worship is not playing right now. I've like disappointed God. And then I would sit frozen in my car, tossing up, is it this song, Lord? Is it like, what song do you, like, just tell me what you want me to do. It was crippling. When things would go wrong around me, like let's say, I don't know, like I failed a math test or something, or things in my life weren't going well. Maybe I didn't get an encounter I was hoping for. When the storm around me was coming, I believed it was God trying to send a signal. Beck, I told you you weren't good enough. Beck, I told you that you don't have a relationship with me. Beck, I told you you can't hear my voice. And if I'm honest, my entire relationship with God consisted of doubt and striving. And you know, when people share testimonies like this, they often come next with like the one-liner that fixed it all. And the reality is that did not happen. There wasn't one solution that changed everything. But there were many times where God invited me into a new reality and changed my perspective on how I thought about Him. For example, I would open my Bible, I would read in Psalms where it says that there is no place in the depths of the ocean or into the depths of hell that I can go where God's love will not find me. In that moment, a new perspective of God's reality and love for me would grow inside my heart. Other moments would be I'd be at the altar. I would just be encountering the presence of God without even comprehending. Someone would come lay a hand on me, some rando. I don't even know who they are to this day. And they'll say, I just feel to tell you God's pleased with you. In one moment, validation would come. God would give me faith to believe that I did have right standing with Him. You see, it wasn't one moment, but I positioned myself for God to give me the gift of faith again and again and again and again until I was a different person. And I believe tonight God wants to do something in you. I believe it with all my heart. That doubt and striving, they've got to go. That the faith realm that God has for you, the peace and assurance, the value, the confidence that God has for you, doubt and striving must go. And just like we read in that scripture, in one moment, Jesus calmed the storm. And I believe tonight is going to be a one moment. Whether it's a scripture coming to your mind, whether it's a friend laying a hand on you, whether it's an encounter with the presence of God, I believe there's storms that He's calming tonight. And so you're right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite up the worship team, and I'm going to get us all to stand up to our feet right now. I truly believe God is wanting to do something in your heart tonight. I don't know what you came with faith for. If you did come with faith, I believe He's going to reward you with that, for that. And if you didn't, I believe right now is an opportunity to be stretcher carried on the faith of those around you. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing a song about how holy and how beautiful God is. And in this moment, I believe the atmosphere is going to change. The presence of God is going to come in. You know, we talk about that, oh, the presence of God coming in. The reality is God is omnipresent. I get it. He's literally everywhere. You don't have to debate me on that one. I'm there with you. But in scripture, it tells us and it shows us a pattern that God actually gives His manifest presence to places where He is adored. We see this even in the Old Testament. They had the Ark of the Covenant, which was technically the presence of God with them. They had the Ark, but then there were times when the priests would come in and they couldn't stand. Why? Because the manifest presence of God came. It didn't mean that God wasn't there. It just meant that in that moment, he decided to bring his manifest presence. We see this in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. In one moment, the presence of God fell. Tongues of fire fell on people. You could tell the difference when the manifest presence was there and when it wasn't. And right now, I believe the manifest presence of God is coming into this room right now. So we're going to sing in this place. And every hand lifted high to God. Come on, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. I'm here to tell you right now, he inhabits your praises. Oh, come on, why don't you just adore him in this place? Oh, do I have hungry people rising up right now? Do I have people desperate for a touch like that woman? Do I have people that are done with doubt and striving? Oh, come on, he's here. We're going to sing. We're going to sing.
Holy, holy, there is none like you.
Service, and I believe that breakthrough is going to come. I even sense that some of you might even get delivered, that prophetic words are going to be released, that Jesus is going to calm the storm that's been prohibiting your faith. But there's just a few things that I can't shake in my spirit. And the first thing is, Jackie, where are you? Jackie, do you want to come forward right now? When I read that scripture about the woman approaching Jesus for her daughter's breakthrough and how the disciples ridiculed her for trying to approach him, I got a sense that God is putting to bed the perspectives that other people have of you that's been restraining your faith. And I believe right now He wants to mark you as someone who is defined as hungry. As hungry. Jackie, you're not striving, you're just hungry. Jackie, you're not striving, you're just hungry. So God, right now, I pray You would come. I pray, Lord, You would fill her. I pray, God, that You would mark her. I pray, God, she's a woman of hunger. I rebuke the lies and the attempts of intimidation of other people's perspectives. I rebuke it now in Jesus' mighty name. And I declare, God, I even thank You for when the woman who broke open the alabaster jar, the disciples said, why this waste? But Jesus, You declared it beautiful. And I just declare, Jackie, God sees your hunger as beautiful. He sees it as beautiful. Thank You, Lord. Every eye fixed on Jesus. Come on, He's here. He's here. He's not done yet. The other person I wanted to pray for is Hayden Clayson. I swear I made eye contact with you. Yeah. I really got a sense that you're someone who's called to be like Jesus sleeping on the boat. And I feel like you've dabbled in that. You've operated in the faith realm, but I believe there's new layers that God is wanting to take you to. That you would be found perceived as sleepy, perceived as not quite there, but mate, you're operating in the faith realm. And I declare right now that in front of your brothers and sisters, that He's highlighting you a man who is operating in the faith realm. I even sense that people are going to come to you and ask for advice. I sense this new advisory part of you rising up, a disciple to disciple people into the faith realm. And so God, right now, I pray You would bless him. I pray, God, You would mark him. Lord, he's not spaced out. He's not got no thoughts on things. He's just operating in the faith realm. So God, I speak to Hayden and I just declare, God, a man after Your own heart, a man in the faith realm. Would You mark him right now, God? I thank You, God. It's not that he's out of it. It's that he's operating in the faith realm. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. And just before we get into the corporate ministry time, I just sensed over the year 9 girls, if you're a year 9 girl in this place, I want to pray for you right now. If you're a year 9 girl, why don't you just lift your, hey queens. If you're a year 9 girl, why don't you just lift your hands high to heaven in this place? I just get a sense that you guys are going to be marked with having joy in your relationship with God. That striving is no longer going to prohibit you from enjoying your time with God. Belinda Page, I'm speaking to you right now. That burden you have for your school is no longer going to drain you. It's going to enjoy you. I pray, God, that you would mark her right now. I thank you, God, that these girls would be marked by the joy of the Lord being their strength. I thank you, God, the joy of the Lord would be their strength. I pray, God, a transfer of burdens right now. I pray, God, the heavy burden of striving would fall. It would die. It would go to the grave. And I just declare joy of their salvation to return. I pray, God, that we know there's ones who praise you, who thank you, who enter your courts with gladness in Jesus' mighty name. If you're still receiving, feel free to stay in that moment. You know, right now, in this atmosphere of worship, what we're going to do is we're going to pray for people and give an opportunity for people to come into right relationship with God. You know, I spoke about earlier, I said, you know, I was worried about, am I going to hell or not? That's a real concern that people have. And maybe you in this place have that concern. I'm here to tell you right now that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the one true God. He made you. You're not an accident. You did not come from the Big Bang. You are not an evolutionary product of an ape. No, no, no. Jesus Christ made you. And tonight we saw healings. We've seen people get touched by God. Why? Because He's real. He's not a myth. He's not a fancy religion. No, no, no. He's the one true God who wants a relationship with you. So in this place with all eyes closed, if you do not have a relationship with God, but you want one, if you know that you're not quite sure where you're going, when you die and you want to be sure, this is for you. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to do something. And it's to put up your hand and say, yep, that's me. I want a relationship with God. And all that's going to happen is we're going to pray. And we invite Jesus Christ into your heart. And I can guarantee you something. He will change your life forever. And so if that's you, on the count of three, maybe your heart's beating, maybe you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe she's doing this moment right now. I just want to say, I feel like that's God knocking on the door of your heart. So if that's you, on the count of three, nice and quick, one, two, three, why don't you lift your hand high to heaven in this place? Slip your hand up quickly so I can see it. Yeah, I see that hand over there. Is there anyone else who wants to give their life to Jesus? Looking, yep, I see that hand over there. Come on, is there anyone else? You want a relationship with Jesus? Looking left and looking right. Yeah, I see that other hand over there. Incredible. Incredible. Well, you know, the Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. What that means is when we slip up our hand and say, yeah, that's me, we confess before other people. Jesus Christ in heaven literally shows God that this person wants a relationship with you. And so what we're going to do is we're going to say a prayer inviting Jesus Christ into your heart. I want to clarify, a prayer doesn't save you. It's not magical. Like, it's not like, oh my goodness, I floated up to heaven right now. No, it's meaning the words with your heart that invites Jesus Christ in. So all together as a family, we're going to pray this prayer inviting Jesus into your heart. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads and repeat after me. And if you put up your hand, mean this. Dear Jesus, I believe what you did on the cross to be true. Right now, God, I pray that you would come into my life. I want to make you my Lord. I want to make you my Savior. I want a relationship with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So good. Yeah, come on. We're celebrating because you literally made the best decision of your life. This is a holy moment. Guess what? Your name's written in the book of heaven. You're going to heaven. You get to experience God this side of eternity. You can have him heal you like he healed people at the front today. If you put up your hand, we want to give you a gift because you don't have to figure out how to have a relationship with God on your own. And so in just a moment, I'm going to get every single person to ask the person next to you, hey, did you put up your hand or did you want to? If they say yes to that question, you're going to go with them to the back of the room. Everyone look at the back of the room. There's going to be some lights up there and you're going to follow those lights. So right now, ask the person next to you, did you put up your hand or did you want to? And you're going to lead them out to the back right now. Come on, we're going to celebrate our brothers and sisters. Every single person asking those around you. If you put up your hand, I just want to encourage you to be so bold right now. Yeah, go. It's the best thing. There's people there. We want to give you a gift. Amazing, amazing.